sleepyhead.
I'm not letting you go to work today.
Wait, what?
Everybody, listen up.
Welcome to The Drive.
Morning.
You're going to talk.
Get on the phone at 339-1140.
Pretty awesome, huh?
Jump in on our text line at 44-1140.
Everyone is talking about it. You must know that.
The Drive starts now.
Bagley at the left elbow, back to the basket. Makes a pivot, backdoor pass, going for the layup, and scoring it is Buddy Hield. That was a very nice pass from Marvin Bagley. 6 points for Buddy Hield, 49-37. Everything he scored has been around the rim. Gortat, left-hand jump hook, no good. Grabbed by Hield, cruises into the front court. Hield now with a token screen from Cauley-Stein, sets up the alley-oop. Willie with the finish. Fox right back. Cauley-Stein again with a two-hand vicious hammer. Fox assist number six. That's the great tempo of De'Aaron Fox, just pushing it right down the throat. The bounce to Justin Jackson. The horn sounds. This game is over. And for the first time in this surprising season for the young Sacramento Kings, they've now lost three in a row. They've also now lost 12 consecutive times to the Clippers in Sacramento.
Well, there you go. Final call from the G-Man. And the Sacramento Kings fall to the first place in the West, L.A. Clippers. We're going to get into this heavy at 7:35. Clippers are no joke. They really aren't. They're not a fluke. They're not flashy. You don't know everybody on that team. They are solid. They play defense. They gave up 121. They play defense when they need to. They can shoot from outside. They can get to the rim. This team is absolutely no joke whatsoever. And the Kings go into December at 10-11, their next game, this Saturday versus the Indiana Pacers. It does not get any easier. Before we move into our analysis, I want to get to the Pekus brothers play of the game.
Bogey, stalked by Gilgeous Alexander, takes it into the front court, looks right, drops the pass left to Bielitsa. Bielitsa yet to put it on the floor, goes low post. Bogey draws the foul, scores, and he was fouled. What a great two-man exchange between the Serbian connection. Bielitsa and Bogdanović, and Bogey in the low post got the defender Gilgeous Alexander off his feet, converted it. He'll go to the free throw line, and we're going to make that your Pekus Brothers moment of the game.
Thank you, G-Man. That was your Pekus Brothers moment of the game. Get the spectacular backyard you've always wanted with a beautiful Pekus Brothers patio or sunroom. Best price, best value, guaranteed every day. Pekus Brothers, 339-1140. 44-11-40. Your thoughts on last night? There's a lot to cover here. The one national TV game they had all year, the one TNT and or ESPN game, that's extra juice for fans who want to show out. And it's a chance, the only chance, although I believe the Kings will probably get flexed into another national game or two later on in the season. The one chance to really show the nation what this team's all about. I don't think... Last night on social media, I saw Kings fans as more down than they've been since the season began. There was a lot of, these are the real Kings. Fire everybody. Fire this guy. Fire that guy. This player sucks. Everyone's caught up to us. You know, at the start of the year, I thought this team would start 3-17, 6-14. That was the range I gave you for the first 20 games of the year. We're 21 games in, they're 10-11. And a lot of people don't want to hear this, much like they didn't want to hear, well, at least we're not in Seattle and we have an arena. You also don't want to hear, well, hey, 10-11 is a lot better than 3-17. But, Chris, if I would have told you, as Chris Verlaud filling in for Kyle Madsen joins us, that this team would be 10-11 going into December, if I told you that in September, would you have drug tested me?
Yeah. No way that's happening.
No way that's happening. And most optimistic people, I don't know, there's probably somebody every year that thinks we'll win 50 games. But Kings going into the Indiana game this Saturday. As of right now, the Kings have played the third toughest schedule in the entire NBA. The Clippers are no joke. It doesn't make the loss feel any better, but you have to like the season as a whole going into December.
I think a lot of people were saying... 30 games. If the Kings win 30 games this year, like, good job on their way up. Yeah. They've won 10 so far.
Yeah.
So, but then, this team is so, like, Jekyll and Hyde.
They really are.
Since, like, the conception of Sacramento Kings.
Especially when they're young. You know, we've seen a few years where they were consistently good, a very few years. But you're going to get Jekyll and Hyde this year. to me, the only game they've lost this year where I can look at it and go, they really should have won this game, that was a bad loss, was the Utah game last week when they didn't have Donovan Mitchell, when the Kings were coming off beating them in Utah. Other than that, I feel like they've lost to the teams that were better than them, and they've beaten the teams that were worse than them, and then a couple in the middle. I'm not that crazy upset about this team right now.
The players.
The players. Yeah.
Isn't it weird that there seems to be like a complete disconnect in the team between players and front office more than any other team in the NBA?
And that's where we get to the nuts and bolts, and we don't have time to do a deep dive on this right now. We will at 7:35. But the other part of yesterday was the Sam Amick report, and Sam has done a phenomenal job, and we love Sam. He knows what he's talking about. He has the right connections. Sam went back and revisited the Brandon Williams, Dave Yeager standoff, if that's what you want to call it, reporting that Yeager had asked Brandon Williams to leave practice yesterday. Vlade walked with him, as was reported, off the practice floor. And then a source came out saying that was a one-time thing to show unity in front of the players. Either way, when you have national TV coming in for the first time all year, and only time as scheduled all year long, and you heard the sideline reporter for TNT, Ally LaForce, reported on, I think that was her first sideline hit of the day, reporting on it. You saw Shaq and Charles and Ernie and Kenny talking about it. It just reinforces the national narrative that this team has a lot of, to use a Jay Billis term, dysfunction, and it's unfortunate. And when the first story hit, Chris, they were 2-0 in the two games following it. They're now 2-3 since losing those games. It's just very unfortunate for the fans. I hate that they have to deal with this.
And I actually know who the blame is for this three-loss skid.
Who's that?
It's Jason Ross.
Oh, what did he jinx him?
He jinxed them big time.
Oh, God. What did he do?
So I'm actually going to go. I want to get it word for word.
Okay.
Because I said it when he tweeted it out. Uh-huh. I said, I don't like this. So he said last year, I believe this was after the Jazz game.
Yep.
So he says, last year the Sacramento Kings had 11 wins at Christmas. This year the Sacramento Kings have 10 wins at Thanksgiving. Happy holiday, Kings fans. So as watching this Kings team for years and years and years,
sure,
you never say wins before, because he's just like, well, they're going to win another one. I'm like, yeah, they will, but.
Are they just going to win another one? They have a stretch coming up now where I believe they play 6 of 8 on the road after Indiana. And, oh, by the way, the Pacers no cakewalk themselves at 13-9 in the type of team that gives the Kings matchup issues. So we have the issues on the floor we can get to. We will most likely not have a Marvin Bagley update for you before 9 a.m. Marvin had a back strain, soreness, stiffness, whatever you want to call it, had to leave the game yesterday after having yet another very good performance with the minutes he was playing. And he was playing some legitimate minutes, so let's credit that. He strung together some real good looks. We need to get into Harry Giles as well. And you want to talk about limited minutes and doing the most with what you've got. Harry yesterday, in very limited minutes, once again, did everything he possibly could. And as I said, Marvin Bagley, 18 points, 10 boards, 2 assists, and a steal with 0 turnovers in 27 minutes last night before he got hurt. So you have the on the floor we need to get to, and then obviously the off the floor at 7:35 with this whole Yeager Brandon Williams thing. I want to get into that. I want to look at both sides and where do we go from here? Again, I want to bring up a compromise. I do think there's something out there that might pacify both sides in this situation. We'll get into that, and we'll take your calls at the bottom of the hour. Four Down Territory is next. We'll look at last night's game, and we'll also look ahead to both the Raiders and Niners this weekend, both having very, very difficult matchups. Back in a couple. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Well, Dave is going to be showing up shortly. I will get started with Four Down Territory.
I went to the bathroom.
And I will ask Dave.
Bad move.
Are the Cowboys in the driver's seat for the NFC East?
Yeah, they are. And I don't know, Chris, if that says more about the Cowboys, who you have to credit. The Cowboys have been on a pretty darn good run since they acquired Amari Cooper and got a huge, huge win last night at home. They have won four in a row, and in those wins are the Eagles, Falcons, Redskins, and then the Saints. You could argue that the Saints were, you know, the only real quality win, but I don't care. You go into Philadelphia, you beat the defending champions. You go into Atlanta, you beat an offense like the Falcons. That's a big deal. I don't know, Chris, and I'll throw it back to you. Does that say more to you about the Cowboys and how they've straightened out their ship seemingly? Or does that say more to you about the fact that Philadelphia and what they were, they got the New York Giants, and Alex Smith broke his leg in two places?
And technically, the Giants are still in it.
I know. How crazy would that? Giants win out, go 8-8, win the NFC East.
They could.
They could. That'd be a top five craziest NFL
and
story.
Like, they're getting better to get to 3-8.
Yeah.
So the NFC East, I think it's just they are not the worst team in the NFC East,
right,
if that makes sense. I don't think they're going to shock the world. And I don't know. The NFL is so stupid. They might win the Super Bowl.
But you and I think, both agree. They're probably the best way to say it is they're the best of a really bad division.
They're not the worst of a really bad division.
Second down.
Second down.
Going back to that game, New Orleans and Dallas, did Drew Brees' MVP campaign take a hit last night?
I don't want to do sky is falling here. It's one game, and Drew Brees has been absolutely amazing this year. I was talking with Kyle yesterday that when I line Drew Brees up against Patrick Mahomes, I can make a really damn good case for Patrick Mahomes, and somehow Drew Brees has already been handed the MVP. He'll probably win it. The Saints will probably continue down the road of victory. They're a very, very good team, but 18-28 with a touchdown and a pick on national – well, everything's on national TV, but on Thursday Night Football, that's going to matter to some voters, because I think Drew Brees winning the MVP is going to be 80% because he deserves it, but 20% it's a legacy thing. He's never won the MVP before, and he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I think a lot of older voters are going to want to give it to him. I don't think it took a catastrophic hit, but I don't think last night helped him at all.
I could also see it the other way of Drew Brees has been amazing for so long,
yeah,
that he's expected to do what others can't, and Patrick Mahomes is a new guy in Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's doing something that no one's ever seen before from a – he's not really a rookie quarterback, but second year, first time taking the reins in Kansas City, and he might get 50 touchdown passes. I could see Mahomes getting it.
If you're a voter – and the Saints finish with at or a better record than the Chiefs, and all things considered, it's a damn tight race between, let's say it comes down to Brees and Mahomes. Does it enter your brain where you go, Mahomes is like 14 years old, he's going to be in the league another 10, 15 years, Drew Brees, this might be his last shot, he's never gotten an MVP. Does that enter your brain?
No. I think it's so, that's like an Oscar type of thing.
Yeah.
Where like, who is Scorsese wins for The Departed.
Right,
it's like,
right.
What?
Although The Departed, let's be clear, was a pretty decent movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
I was fine with that.
It's no Goodfellas or Casino, but.
Third, is it a Bronx Tale? Third down.
Going back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Do the Chiefs cover versus the Raiders this weekend? The spread is 15 points.
Oh, boy. That's more than two touchdowns with my math. I want to shout out here real quick from the 5-3 on the text line. Dave, you weren't kidding during that lipo commercial. You don't really exercise, do you? Catch your breath, buddy. I just want to be clear. I had a minute and a half. I really had to go potty. I tried to pull it off. No pun intended. I ran back because I heard us coming back from break. I was out of breath, but I was running. Chiefs, Raiders. So, Chris, on the surface, I think this is going to be like a 3-4 touchdown game. This should be something like 42-10 Chiefs. The only thing in the back of my head, it's a divisional game. It's AFC West. It's Chiefs Raiders. It's in Oakland. You're going to have the black hole. These things tend to get weird, like Miami and the Jets every year throw out the records. And this is a big, big line. That being said, I don't care. I have a very difficult time. By the way, coming off a bye, Andy Reid, I think, is like 700-0. I have a very hard time believing the Chiefs aren't going to blow out the Raiders.
It's going to be a demolition.
Ugly.
I almost said something really bad there, so I'm glad I – see, that's why I can't, like, host a show. So,
were you going to say it would be a certain type of show?
Yes, yes.
So you and I are on the same page.
I think – I honestly think, like, on Monday, people are going to be mad at the – at Reed because they're going to say, hey, how come you took Patrick Mahomes out? He had 5 touchdowns. He could have gotten 7 against the Raiders.
Ugh.
And I'm happy saying that because I'm not going to be here Monday morning. So when the Raiders, like, squeeze out – something, then I'm not going to look stupid.
Well, last week at Fantasy Football, and we'll talk about this with Dave Richard, two of the top 3 teams when you talk about fantasy impact were both on byes last week after that epic game, the Rams and the Chiefs. Again, seriously, Andy Reid is tremendous off of byes. Chris and I both agree the Raiders will, the Chiefs will cover that 15. Fourth down.
Fourth down. Fourth down.
All right, another division game. Does Seattle cover versus the Niners? The spread is 10 points.
All right, so this one's kind of interesting. I think the main storyline here is not who's going to win the game. The Seahawks should blow out the 49ers. It's Richard Sherman's return to Seattle, and we talked about this yesterday. There's actually a big debate up there as to how the crowd is going to react to Sherman. I'm a Niner fan. I couldn't stand Richard Sherman when he was on the Seahawks. But I don't understand. They have one ring in their entire lifetime as that team. And without Richard Sherman, in my opinion, they don't get that ring. I think he should get a standing O. I think the crowd's going to be pumped. I think there's going to be a lot of drama, a lot of emotion in this game. And Seattle is just, they're not great, but they're a hell of a lot better than the 49ers. And that is one of the best home field advantages in all of football. Again, I think the Seahawks cover here too.
Yeah, I think that they're going to cover. The Richard Sherman thing, when I first started seeing that on Twitter, I'm like, did he do something? He like blew out his Achilles and they said that they didn't want him anymore. Is that his fault?
No. He went and negotiated his own deal. He wanted to stay in Seattle. Now, I think some people up there argue, well, you know, he said some bad things about the organization, but he didn't trash them. In fact, he came out yesterday and said, Pete Carroll and I don't, you know, Russell Wilson and I don't really have a relationship right now. Pete Carroll and I don't talk, but I'm sure we'll have a relationship someday. He's a good man. He did the best he could. He's still very good friends with many of the guys on the team. And, dude, he won you a Super Bowl. Standing, oh, please, fly that big, dumb 12th man flag and Let Richard Sherman raise the flag.
Should have been 2 Super Bowls.
Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. Honestly, I feel like it could have been 2. It could have been 3. And you're talking about, obviously, Seahawks, Patriots. But that team was way too good to win just one.
What's crazy is Russell Wilson is the one that threw the interception, and people are mad at Sherman because of what he said about Russell Wilson.
And if Richard Sherman, you know, one of the most, you know, we have the catch from the late, great Dwight Clark, one of the most iconic plays, I think, in Seattle Seahawks history, and there's a couple, but Richard Sherman on that tipped Michael Crabtree in the era from Michael Crabtree in the NFC Championship game when the Harbaugh Niners were going up against them. That in itself, to me, was one of the most iconic moments in Seahawks history. If they don't give him a loud, rousing standing ovation, then, you know what, honestly, it just proves what I already knew, that Seahawks fans are trash.
I will say that Seattle is trash.
Seattle is trash in general? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Look at you going in on Seattle.
It's an overrated Portland.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Kings Clippers last night. Let's get into this. Let's get back into this Dave Yeager drama. I'll explain why you shouldn't be as upset as you are, and I think I might have a compromise. I want to run by all of you at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Dave Richard will join us to talk fantasy football at the top of the hour, right around 8:05 from CBS Sports. So deep dive into the Kings right now in this segment. We have a full 20 minutes to do it, so I invite you with your questions to call in at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can also text in at 44-1140, and there are a lot of questions to be had. There are questions about the on-floor workings of the Kings. Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, minutes distribution, the loss to the Clippers, the fact that the Kings have lost 6 of 10, or the fact that they're 10-11 going into December 1st, which was beyond most people's expectations. So there's two halves of what to get into here, and I'm going to start with what we haven't really gotten into yet, which is the drama surrounding Brandon Williams and Coach Dave Yeager. Sam Amick with another report yesterday outlining that things since they first broke with Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes a couple weeks ago when it came out that somebody in the front office who is now assumed to be Brandon Williams. And I underline assumed, but that is the assumption by fans, by media, and the franchise has not acknowledged or come out and disavowed that, which tells you what you need to know. That Brandon was upset with the minutes distribution to Marvin Bagley specifically, and could lead to Dave Yeager's dismissal. Dave Yeager, according again to sources published in both Yahoo and The Athletic, feels that Brandon wants him out, has wanted him out, and has been plotting against him staying as a Sacramento Kings coach. Now, Dave Yeager, along with Vlade Divac, are both signed through next year. But in the NBA and in most sports, coaches don't go into lame duck seasons. This summer, Dave Yeager will either resign, be fired, or be extended, if not sooner, but will not go into next year without a resolution on his contract one way or the other. So the fans have made it very clear where they stand. This team has exceeded expectations so far, despite the recent speed bumps. And they're very happy, and not all, but overall very happy with the performance of Coach Yeager and his staff. Vlade Divac put out a statement last night. I'm paraphrasing here, basically saying he's directed his front office and coaching staff to not pay attention to any of the drama and to continue developing this young team and focusing on what's on the floor. Fans are upset because they want blood here. In most cases, they want the source of the leak gone. And to add more to the drama, Brandon has been away for personal reasons for the last 2-3 weeks since this started and was scouting, I believe, in Maui, returned yesterday, came to practice, and Dave Yeager asked Brandon to leave. And as, again, I understand it, Vlade and Brandon Williams left practice after Coach Yeager's request. So here's where we're at, a detente, if you will, a standoff that you've got what sounds like Coach Yeager feeling betrayed and in a precarious position, not only with his job, but, and this is important, and I'll bring it up later, the jobs of his assistant coaches, who, unlike Yeager and unlike Vlade, their contracts only run through this year. They are on lame duck contracts. So it's a very precarious position, and I think Coach Yeager feels that he and his staff have also exceeded expectations with the development of this ball club along with their performance, and feels that there is a lack of support there, that there is somebody plotting against him, and that is just flat out an irreconcilable difference. Vlade Divac has always prided himself as a player and now as an executive as trying to be the great uniter, and there is a history here. You'll remember Coach Carl wanted to suspend DeMarcus Cousins. Vlade stepped in. Keith Smart wanted to suspend DeMarcus Cousins indefinitely. If memory serves me correct, that turned into a one-game suspension. Vlade Divac has done a lot of things both publicly and behind the scenes to try to quell drama, unite people, and is not seen as a guy who really goes hard-ass at times in situations like this. And it appears that that's what he's trying to do again, by basically saying, Brandon Williams works for me, Dave Yeager works for me, we have disagreements within, you guys both need to continue to work for me and do your jobs, and I'm not going to make a knee-jerk decision. And one thing I do very much respect about Vlade, whether I agree with him or not, and in this case I disagree with him, is that Vlade has a very simple yet forceful moral code when it comes to stuff like this and does not care about public pressure, does not care what anyone else thinks, whether it's fans, whether it's ownership. Of course, he wants to please both, but ultimately he's going to make the decision that he wants to make. He doesn't need the money. He wants to, and he said this many times, finish the job that he and his teammates couldn't finish back in 2002, and he wants to bring a championship to Sacramento. I believe that. I believe that is the truth, and I respect him for that. But I believe he's making a mistake here. I believe in this case, when you have a situation like this that has become a massive distraction, you have to weigh the opponents against each other, in this case a member of his front office and his coaching staff. If you leave it unchecked, it will fester. It will grow. And it will make life difficult and may end up resulting in a situation that causes more than one person their job at the end of the year. I believe, barring some sort of craziness like a 15-game losing streak or a further escalation of the drama, I believe Dave Yeager is going nowhere for the remainder of the year. I can't speak to anything after this summer. So because we have that, because we have this standoff, and because it seems that Vlade has made it clear that he does not want to fire anybody, I was thinking last night, you know, where do you go from here? Because this could very well be an untenable situation, and usually things like this don't go away. They don't. And as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, they haven't gone away. It's only gotten worse. It's only escalated. So if I'm in Vlade Divac's chair, here's what I explore. And I said, I think I might have a compromise that isn't perfect, but I think it's an option. I don't know which bothers Coach Yeager more, what's gone on here with all this drama, or the fact that he has worked with many of his assistant coaches, guys like Jason March, guys like Brian Gates, Elston Turner. He's worked with his staff, and I believe it's a staff of six, many of them going back to Memphis. And as he said in the post game yesterday, I believe it was the post game, we spend more time together as a coaching staff than we spend with our families this time of year. They're very, very close. And I would imagine for Dave Yeager, and I think we can all identify with this, I think it's very difficult when you're a guy like Yeager who's making, I don't know, $3-4 million a year, whatever it is, far more than any of your assistants. And you've got to go on the road and look at these guys in the eyes, knowing that you're still getting a guaranteed check for the next year plus. But these guys who also have families and aren't as probably financially independent as Coach Yeager, they are in a very precarious position. And I think that weighs on him. And I would imagine, I'm guessing here, I have not talked to Coach about this, but I would imagine if you gave him a choice between the two and said which has bothered you more, which has caused you the most stress, I think he would say that it's the position of his assistant coaches and the fact that they're not at least picked up next year like he is. So here's what I do if I'm Vlade. You don't want to fire Brandon Williams? Fine. I think it's a mistake, but that's your decision. And you want Dave Yeager just to coach the team and not worry about all of this? Okay. Pick up the assistant coaches' contracts. Do it tomorrow. Who cares if it's looked at as a response or a knee-jerk reaction or whatever the optics are? Who cares? It's a way for the franchise to at least commit somewhat to Yeager and the coaching staff. I believe he has a six-person staff. And I asked around. The NBA and teams don't publish assistant coaching salaries. I've seen a wide range. It seems like the average coach, if you average it out, is about $300,000 a year. Six people on the team, that's $1.8 million you're committing to next year, which you would, by the way, anyways, if you pick them up. But worst case scenario, you fire everybody at the end of the year, it costs you $1.8 million. $1.8 million, especially when it doesn't affect the cap. Now, I'd love to have that money. I understand it's a lot of money. But in the big scheme of things for an NBA team, $1.8 million is like your 12th guy on the bench. All right? And you're talking about a lot of drama. If I'm Vlade and I'm the organization, maybe you wait a week, maybe you wait a day, whatever. But I go into Dave Yeager's office today and I say, listen, we're not going to fire Brandon, but we understand how you feel. Could we perhaps come to a middle ground where you can sleep better at night if you know that your assistants are picked up? And you pick up the assistants, you send a message that you're supporting Dave Yeager, but at the same time, you attain the freedom. If you feel like you need to make a move at the end of the year, it's not catastrophic. It's not the end of the world. You didn't just sign him to another three-year, $12, $13, $14 million contract. If I'm Vlade and I'm playing the chessboard this way, that's what I do. But, Chris, in my opinion, if it's me, if somebody is working the media, if somebody is causing an issue like this, I got to go after that person. I think I got to cut it out and get done with it quickly and not let it fester.
I've got a question for you.
Sure.
Let's say you're in a coma in September. Mm-hmm. You woke up yesterday. First thing you do, go on Twitter. You see the breaking news. Coach kicks assistant GM out of practice. This came after a story that he thinks that he's trying to get rid of him as a coach. What do you think the Kings' record is?
About 3-17.
Yeah.
About 3-17. Certainly not 10-11 playing the third toughest schedule in the NBA. And that's what's so frustrating.
That's what I think everyone hates about this.
You know, at the beginning of the year, I launched my pessimism, which is a basic part of my personality when it comes to this team. I don't ever expect much out of them, and I'm either pleasantly surprised or my expectations were met. But I also tend to go the opposite of the fan base's mood. I'm here to say today that there are issues with this team on the floor. There are issues with this team in the front office, but guys, they're 10-11. They play the third toughest schedule in the NBA. I'll keep saying that. It's not a fluke. They're a young team. They're going to take dumps sometimes on the floor that you didn't expect. And you also in the NBA, many times you have teams that will surprise people. And then teams, guess what? Especially your better teams, they get into midseason form, they scout, they scheme, and they're able to come up with solutions. That's why they're good NBA teams. Why isn't Vlade being blamed for this as well from the 707? I think Vlade should be blamed for this. I think Vlade has to share some. I don't think Vlade deserves the blame for this, but Vlade is the head of the front office. And I know there's a lot of theories out there, and very understandable theories, that it's other front office executives, that it's Vivek Ranadive, that are holding Vlade's hands behind his back. A lot of conspiracy theories out there, like Brandon Williams wanted Bagley and overruled Vlade, who wanted Luka Doncic. I can tell you, unless Vlade Divac has lied to my face numerous amount of times, I've sat in Vlade's office, I have talked to him outside the arena at several occasions, and at one point, I literally said to his face, Vlade, I hear that you wanted Bagley. But, dude, you've known Luka since you were a kid. Come on, dude. It's just you and me. Like, and by the way, had Vlade told me that off the record, I wouldn't be saying this right now. But I know Vlade would have no problem with me saying, Vlade not only said, no, I wanted Bagley, but he went into detail about watching Marvin Bagley at a Duke game early in the year, thinking if there was any way that they could move up in the draft, that that would be their guy if they had the opportunity. I saw that old draft board, which you guys saw, too. It was never, we don't like Luka, we don't think Luka's going to be a good player. It was, we think Marvin Bagley is the guy for this squad. This was not Vlade being overruled. Vlade legitimately wanted Marvin Bagley. I also asked around yesterday because I understand why people think Vlade is being overruled in this case, and that's, to be honest with you, what I thought at the start of the day, that somebody else in that organization is overruling Vlade who might want to fire Brandon. And I asked. And I was told in no uncertain terms from people on all sides of the aisle that Vlade Divac has complete control over the front office, and that is his decision to make. If he wants to fire somebody, he can fire somebody. And if he wants to keep somebody, that is his call. So if this thing turns out fine, credit Vlade. If this thing turns out bad, credit Vlade. I think Vlade's biggest strength and simultaneously his biggest weakness is his belief in people and his belief that anybody can get along and that anything can be harmonious and that there's always redemption for people that may have strayed off the road of perfection. And that's great. And it worked when he was a player. And he was a unifying presence. And for all we know, behind the scenes, he's worked magic with this locker room where you have vets like Zach Randolph and guys last year like Vince Carter, Kosta Koufos, who played limited minutes or no minutes in Zach's case, yet you don't hear any peeps out of the locker room. You don't hear any of that. By the way, I also must say this. I'm no lawyer, but I haven't heard Brandon Williams come out and say that he was the source yet. And I don't know what's happened behind the scenes. I don't know if he was asked directly. But I can't help but think that if I'm just talking out my rear end here, I don't know that there's not a legal issue. Well, you know, if you fire the guy, but you don't have proof and he's never admitted he was the source, you have to have a cause, I would imagine. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's affected by the players union or the coaches union. There may be, and what I'm trying to say is there may be other things that are far less dramatic and far more boring behind the scenes that we're not paying attention to. I don't think Vlade is perfect. And again, I don't agree with this decision. I think you got to let someone go. And I think you send a clear message that you're sending an unclear message as far as the future of Coach Dave Yeager. I don't blame them for waiting till the end of the year if they want to wait and decide on Coach Yeager's future. And I certainly don't think that Coach Yeager has been perfect. I understand that there's disagreements, and that's perfectly natural. But what I see is I see De'Aaron Fox in the conversation for most improved player. I see Harry Giles certainly looking like he was handled correctly by the training staff last year. and is looking to be a guy that will very much be a future of this team. I see Marvin Bagley, who isn't Luka Doncic, but let's pretend Luka Doncic doesn't exist. Marvin Bagley has been quite fine this year, and over the last week when he's putting up 20 and 17 games, and then last night before he got injured, and we're hoping to get an update here later today on his back situation, but before he got injured, played 27 minutes and put up 18 and 10. This is a rookie. This is a guy who should have been a high school freshman a year and a half ago. I'm not upset with Marvin Bagley at all. If you take the Doncic drama out of the situation, he's been just fine for this team. I had a real hard time with the DeMarcus Cousins trade, but if you just look at it from a Sacramento versus New Orleans perspective, Sacramento won that trade and it wasn't close. Now, you can argue all day long if they'd be better or worse with DeMarcus right now, but New Orleans got screwed on that deal. Vlade fleeced him. And now you have Buddy Hield and Justin Jackson and Harry Giles as a result of that. So I think when you want to talk about Brandon Williams, here's the skinny on him. I've talked to him enough to, I have no issues with him personally. He's always been very, very nice to me. And I always think it's important to say, because I don't want to trash somebody and leave out the fact that they've always been, at least for me, has always been very nice, very polite, and very forthcoming with information. But I also think it's important to understand that if, in fact, Brandon was the leak here and was plotting in the media to try to disrupt Coach Yeager's day, I'm probably more upset with Brandon Williams over the fact that, and let's go back a few months, Pete Youngman and part of his training staff are gone. And you saw the nice, pretty statement the Kings put out. And credit to the Kings, at least, for trying to take care of the guy, at least financially. But, you know, when you hear something like, well, he's a senior advisor. I mean, that's kind of been the MO in a lot of cases of the organization. Nancy Lieberman, remember, she was on leave. And she did have legitimate issues with her mom. I don't want to put that to the side. But Nancy Lieberman basically disappeared for 2.5 years and then popped up in Ice Cube's league, I believe. And Pete Youngman and Manny and those guys, Pete Youngman, who goes so far back that he was Vlade Divac's trainer. Pete Youngman and that training staff, regarded as one of the best training staffs in the league, were summarily sent away. And no offense to the person that they brought in. No offense at all, because I don't know this person and I'm not going to disrespect them at all. But you launched a guy who had been the trainer for, I think, 25 years for someone coming out of Louisville. With if I'm correct or if I'm incorrect, I apologize, but I believe with no NBA experience. I was more pissed about that. And that was a Brandon Williams decision, from what I've been told by numerous people. And that decision Brandon made came when Vlade Divac was in Europe. And this story leaked when Vlade Divac was in Maui. It's a common thread there. So my issues with Brandon Williams from a Kings fan point of view go way beyond this. My issues with Brandon Williams are that in talking to so many people in the organization way before this happens, and when you guys get pissed at me when I put cryptic Twitter stuff out or say things like the rest of the story will eventually come out, this is bigger than just Pete Youngman, this is what I'm talking about. Because when I talk to people, they say, and I quote, this guy makes Pete D'Alessandro easy to work with. This guy is universally loathed within the organization. This guy did not have a sterling reputation coming here, and the reputation has actually gotten worse. People don't like working with him. Now, I haven't talked to everybody in the organization. I don't want to be irresponsible. But everybody I've talked to in the organization, and I assure you it's more than a couple people, say the same thing. If you have a continual distrust within a team, and I count the business ops and the front office as part of the team as much as I count De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley, you've got to take care of that swiftly. That's part of being stable. And if, in fact, that decision is on Vlade and Vlade alone, and I believe that to be true, then Vlade, to me, as much as I love him and respect him tremendously, and I say this with all due respect, you got to sack up, dude. I know you're trying to do what you think is best, but I think Vlade's hanging himself out to dry. And by the way, let's mark my words here, November 30th at 7:55 a.m., this could end up costing him his job this summer. You got to cut it out. You got to cut that out, not just for Jaeger, but for the Pete Youngman thing, if that's true as well. You got to have harmony. And the executives with the Kings, and I'll give credit to Vivek, I'll give credit to the other people in the business front offices. Not everybody's perfect, but they've worked, in my opinion, many of them have worked very hard to try to stabilize this team. And look at their record. Let's stick to that. Let's stick to that and be adults and make the tough decisions and move on. But if not, if you can't do that or you won't do that, take care of Dave Yeager's assistant coaches. Take care of them. Sign them through next year. Give coach something that shows him and shows the fans that you respect and love him and you've got his back. Because I think that's what he needs. I don't blame him. Dave Richard will join us at 8:05. That's in 10 minutes. Take your text at 44-1140. Try to get your calls at 339-1140 before we get to Dave. It's a drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.